On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina.
The next question, we're going to have a group one of the AA Strength Coaches of the Year. You were one of the three that I had on the interview. So depending on if this one comes out before or after that one, people may or may not know. And if they don't know, congrats first and foremost on being AA Strength Coach of the Year. It's voted on by your peers. I say it all the time. Like, clearly you're doing something right, and I want to know what it is. So what is it that makes a strength and conditioning coach successful in your mind?
No, I think it's just being a good person, building relationships with your PTs, ATCs, field staff, the other coaches, be respectful of what their needs and wants are. I think communicating on a daily basis with the other strength coach in on the other side is beneficial to see what they may need. Obviously, some of the COVID rules are still in effect with the weight room stuff. So making sure that everything's set up ready for them to go on a daily basis. When we're on the road, making sure that we clean up after ourselves before they walk in or other staff. So I think just being respectful of your surroundings, and it's always good to just communicate with the other coach and just kind of talk shop, a little bit of downtime, maybe go grab a bite to eat, grab a beer or something, just kind of pick their brains with what's going on. But I would say communication is the number one key when it comes to being successful. You can over communicate. I think you could fall into a rut if you don't communicate enough, because then you're assuming that other things are being done when they may not, be. So I think just,
Yeah. I like that last point there. Just no assumptions, right? Like if you assume something in baseball, you're almost guaranteeing to set yourself up for failure, right? And like you said, you can over communicate, but I would say almost every time, like, the over communication aspect is going to outplay the under, right? Like if you may get to the point where you're annoying somebody and they're like, yeah, I get it. But on the flip side of that is like the one time you don't go to them is where something slips through the cracks because you just assumed that they knew what was going on, right?
Right. For sure.
So how about advice for others in the field? Maybe young coaches looking to get in, or just older coaches looking to, you know, stay on top of things, or, you know, just anybody that maybe that's even just looking to persevere through some tough times like you were talking about earlier. Just what advice do you have for others in the field?
I would just say continue to build relationships. Talk with others in the field that are no longer in the field. Just knowing what you're getting yourself into, like ask the right questions. Like, okay, they're long days. So long weeks, long year. So just know what the role is before you get in. Cause everyone thinks it's a glamorous job. Like, I would say it's great. Like, there's only 32 ball clubs. So there's not many jobs out there. So it's just knowing what the job is before you get in, because there are people out there that are passionate for baseball and have been in before that are struggling to get back in. And I know you've mentioned a bunch of times, like, you don't know what a baseball strength condition coach has to go through on a daily basis. Like, you learn, you wear so many more hats than just a strength coach. And knowing what those hats are, knowing that you're going to have to learn on the fly with a lot of the stuff. You're the food guy. You have to do all the catering. You have to sometimes take a player to the emergency room. So it's just knowing that you're just not a strength coach. You are basically you're an all hands on deck kind of guy when it comes to putting out fires, helping others. So I would just say, know what the job is, know what you have to do, ask the right questions. So just networking. I think if you don't know anybody in the game, start. And I mean, it was a grind. I tell you, it was a grind to get back in. And every day I'm thankful to be in. And I just know, like, I've seen people come and go that were there for maybe 1 or 2 years. And they're like, oh, it just wasn't for me. It's like, and it's not for everybody, but now it gives somebody else an opportunity to maybe live out their passion on what they want to do. So I'd be on the last thing I would say is for players want or coaches want to get in or try to or stay in, and veteran coaches, is just manage your time wisely. Like, it, that's, the days go by really fast. And if you feel like stuff can pile up pretty quickly, if you don't get it done on a daily basis, like, get your daily stuff done, your weekly stuff done, so it doesn't turn into a clusterfuck at the end of the month kind of thing. And one thing that I learned is use your off days as off days. Like, I know sometimes we go to the field and help a player out here and there, but the season's too long and you don't want to get burnt out too quickly. And off days are there for a reason, especially at the minor league level. They're built into the schedule. And I know we use a lot of our off days as travel days, which is still an off day. You can still get R&R on a bus when you get to the hotel. Like, you can set your day. Like, just use your off days. That was one of the biggest things I tried to tell the players, is like, when you get to the big leagues, the off days are few and far between. Let's use your off days as off days here. I don't want to deter you from going to the facility to get treatment or to do some mobility work, but I can't guarantee that I'm going to be there every Monday. So let's just use your time wisely. Go out, do some stuff on the town, find out what's going on. Like, in Wichita, there really wasn't much, but there's a nice little walking path, trails along the river. So, or guys would go play golf. So it's just like, go find another activity to do in that sense. So that would be my biggest advice to player or coaches that are looking to get into pro ball, or just seasoned vets that are in at the moment. Like, what I do to try to stay on top of it and kind of prevent burnout.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good stuff in there. And for me, we're at the point now where, like, jobs are getting posted right in the off season, and people get the job and it's their first time in pro ball. And like, I'm not trying to knock it, but you know, I got my dream job, I got this, I got that, like, I can't wait to get started here. And it's like, if you know everything that goes into it, maybe it is still your dream job, but I think a lot of those people get in thinking it's a lot more glamorous than it is, especially at the lower levels, and like realizing that it really is a grind. There's a ton of hats that you have to wear. It's a lot of long days. It's, I mean, now you have an off day every week in the minor leagues, but it really is a grind, and it's a lot of stuff to do. And a lot of those people end up just, like you said, this isn't really for me. And like, next person gets a chance. And to be honest, like, I was one of those people, right? Like, I got in and I was like, yeah, I'm working with the Pirates. I'm in pro ball. This is awesome. And like, it just wasn't for me at the time. And I had some separate stuff going on in my life that I was trying to figure out. And, you know, I gave it one more chance, and I'm glad I did, because I saw it. I knew there was the potential there. It was just that first year, it was like, oh shit, this isn't what I expected. And I was one of those people. I got out, I got away, I did some private setting stuff, and I was like, there's something there that I need to pursue again. And I'm very thankful that I did, and I don't take any days for granted, but that first year was really eye-opening. And that was, you know, one of the big reasons I wanted to start this podcast, was there was just not a lot of pro ball strength coaches talking about a day in the life when I came in. And so I didn't know anything. And it was like, I want to try to minimize the potential of other people getting blindsided by how much you have to do and like how different it is than what you really think. And sometimes when you're at those lower levels, it can feel like you're light years away from the big leagues, right? And it's totally different life. But that I will say, like, if it's something that you genuinely want to pursue, if you really do want to pursue the big leagues, like you said earlier, one, you're going to have to grind through some shit. Two, like, it's going to take years and years and years sometimes. And even then, like, you have to be in the right place at the right time. But three, it is, like, genuinely worth it if this is really what you want to do. And it's a long journey. It's a difficult journey at times, but, like, you don't want to lose sight of the big picture, right? And so I would agree 100%, like, knowing what you're getting into and knowing, like, it's not always going to be as glamorous as I expect, but at the same time, like we said earlier, like, it's an awesome job. We get to watch a ball game every night. Like, you get to be around the players. You have crazy stories of buses breaking down and, you know, just outrageous stuff. Like, it is worth it, right? And then the other one you talk about is, like, the off days. I think we had a calendar month. I don't remember if it was this year or last year where we had one day off the whole month. And we arrived back into Boston at like 4 a.m. that day. So you know how it is. Like, it's, you get in really late and you're exhausted. And the next, like, that off day just flies. And then it's like, all right, we're back to work for another like 17 days in a row. And like you said, in the big leagues, you really learn to appreciate those days. And in the minor leagues, you have one every week. And sometimes guys take it for granted. And I think it's a great way to just teach them, like, hey, when you move up, like, you're going to need to utilize these because they're few and far between. Like, learn to have a routine for yourself now, even on the off day, and that will carry over in your career when you get to the big leagues.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what I try to do to preach to the players now is, if you, let's establish your routine at the lower level. So when you get to the big leagues, all you have to do is, you have a new locker. You put your cleats on, go out there, play catch, get ready for a ball game. You don't have to worry about what am I going to eat today? Like, or when's the weight room open? Like, or what's my routine for lifting today? What's running? Like, you already know what everything is going to be because you're so structured in that routine and you've established that. So when you get up there, you just have to worry about playing the game. You don't have to worry about 8 other things. And you just stay focused at that point. I mean, even in Colorado, like, I was preaching to those guys in low A, it's like, you guys may seem you're so far away, but you never know. Or if you're a 40-man guy in on a high A or double A roster, like, you can be plucked at any time. So let's make sure that you're ready to go. Routine, like, okay, make sure you're eating breakfast. Make sure you're doing your movement prep every day. Let's make sure you're getting your lifts in when you're called upon. Like, you know your body better than anybody else. Like we talked about earlier, it's just make sure that you are ready to go, because you never know if that chance is going to come again. So it's just make the best of it, but no, be ready. And I think if these guys can establish a routine early on in their career, they'll be more prepared for when they get the call up.
Yeah, 100%. When I was in AA, we had a couple guys go right from AA to the big leagues, and obviously AAA guys are bouncing up and down. And as you get higher in the levels as a strength coach, that advice there becomes that much more important, right? Like, low A, okay, maybe there's some wiggle room, even high A, but like AA and especially AAA, like, you have to be prepared to go to the big leagues. You have to be able to prepare yourself to play and to come in to any role. It's not always you're the stud on AAA and you automatically become the stud in the big leagues. Like, some of those guys become bench players and then they have to learn how to get their body ready and pinch run in the seventh inning or something like that. You just have to have a good awareness of your body and you have to be able to prepare to play. And for us, like, I think that's a major part of our actual strength and conditioning job. Obviously, we have all the nutrition and all the other stuff we do, but the actual strength coach job is, like, part of my job is to make sure you know how to get yourself ready to play today. And no matter what role you come into the game, like, you're going to be good to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
How about continuing education resources? Where are you going? Books that you're reading, seminars you're attending, podcasts you're listening to, just where are you going to stay on top of stuff?
So the Twins create a seasonal, or I should say yearly, Con Ed plan that we have benchmarks we have to complete a couple times, 3 times throughout the year. Personally, I am reading Deep Nutrition by Catherine Shannon. Just kind of goes a lot into the science and the nutrient timing and stuff like that of nutrition. It really dives deep into like molecular structure and what's like sibling food. Like, and I have two kids. One is completely picky eater. One is will eat anything. So it kind of shows some insight on that part. But another one I'm rereading since I'm starting that new position is called Bridging the Gap from Rehab to Performance by Sue Falzone. So that is, hopefully I pronounced her name right. And that is, I read it before, and I want to just reread it to touch base on if I missed anything. So that's kind of been a good one for me. I throughout the summer, I took the FRA course through functional range systems or functional anatomy seminars. So I want to kind of, there's a couple there that I want to tackle either this year or next. It's the FR, the functional range release. I know a lot of that's more PT geared, but there's some aspect that I could take where you don't have to be a PT or you won't be like certified or however you won't get the credential, but I want to gain the knowledge. And then the FRS ISM, which is the FRS internal strength model, is something they just introduced this past year. I haven't read much on it, but I'm a huge fan of the FR stuff. Like, I took the FRC, FRA, and I honestly think there's a lot of merit there. I know you had a podcast on that with a few. I think Trevor was one of them. I use it on a daily basis, so I want to divulge more into their systems. And then whatever, like, PBS, CCS seminars come out, like, I know they just had the Wake Forest one. I was unable to attend that one, but I know they do a lot that are pretty relevant to the game to kind of stay on top of different technologies, different training tactics and stuff like that. Nutrition, I think that was one not too long ago. Podcasts, I'd be foolish to say that I didn't listen to this one every time it came out. This is a great resource when it comes to learning about new topics. I'm a huge fan of Joe Rogan, so I listen to pretty much all the Rogan stuff. More in line with the field and Elite Baseball Elite Baseball Development by Cressy, the Performance Rehabilitation and Strength Training by Alex Gett. And then what I listen to on a daily basis is Increase Your Impact by Justin Sua. He has about a minute to 3 minute motivation, how to get your day started kind of thing. Like, if you're ever feeling in a rut, pop that on for a few listens on a car ride. And that's a good one. Helps you stay motivated and how to talk to people in that sense. So that's about where I'm going right now. Obviously, I'll learn seminars. Obviously, the winter meetings is something I'll be new to this coming December. So I'll be learning from the group there with the mixed company, with the training staff, medical side, and the performance side. So I have a lot of seminars and stuff behind that I've done in the past. Like, so there's not a whole lot that I'm looking forward to, but the FR is kind of really where I want to gear my next task.
Yeah, first, appreciate the support of the podcast. Obviously, it means a lot that you listen. And then all the FRC, the FRA, I did that one actually at the Rockies Complex when I was living in Arizona, and it was awesome. And just looking forward to the internal strength model stuff, and just I always use that stuff pretty regularly as well. And then Justin Sua used to be here with us, and he's absolutely awesome, man. His podcast is great, but as a person, he's just, you know, top level guy. So I'm the same way. I'll pop his on every once in a while, like, just to hear his voice. And he's just so positive and so motivating. And, yeah, you know, just, I do miss like being around him. And whenever we play Tampa, I always, you know, get to see him in the outfield and he always checks in. How's your family? How's your dog? You know, like just genuine, great person. So his is a good one. And then obviously, you know, the non-baseball like Joe Rogan stuff is just, it passes the time, right? Like every episode's like four yeah. hours of him just talking about literally anything. Yeah. Man, he's just chilling, talking to like top level celebrities and fighters and authors and comedians. And it's like sneaky. He's got a lot of influence in the world and like a lot of good stuff comes yeah. out of his podcast. So,
yeah, I listen to it on like 1.5 speed so I can get through an episode in a normal amount of time. So, but those are great. Like they're funny, but also sometimes they're very informative on certain stuff. Some of the topics could be controversial, but depends on where you are. But I think it's pretty beneficial to kind of keep your mind off of S&C or the performance world sometimes, and not stay so so focused in one avenue, and just something to just clear the mind sometimes. And just a Joe Rogan podcast is kind of what does it for me.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, no matter what kind of podcast, strength and conditioning, nutrition, Joe Rogan, like, even this one, like, you're not always going to agree with everything, right? Like, you have to just filter out what's good, what's bad, and you know, follow up on educating yourself on the topics and everything. But sometimes it's like, you know, he has, like, Kid Cudi on, and like, all right, I'll listen to Kid Cudi yeah. talk. I like his music, so let me see what he's got to say. Or, like, you know, he's got a fighter on, and they're talking about, like, fight technique and things like that, or, like, he's got David Goggins on and the guy's like yeah. the biggest maniac on the planet. Like, you know, I mean, it's just sometimes yeah. it's good to just get your mind away from strength and conditioning, like you said. So my dad and I drove, you know, cross country out to Arizona, and we just passed the time with Joe Rogan episodes. And now every time I talk to him, he's like, did you listen to the new Rogan episode with this guy or that get with that girl? Or I'm like, no, like you should really listen to that one. There's some good stuff. And then I'm like, all right, thanks, Dad. I'll make sure that I do.
So. I mean, that's what passed the time when I drove from Wichita back to Florida. That was a 17-hour ride, and we were trying to beat the hurricane. So that passed the time fantastically.
Yeah, well, you got about, like I said, one episode, 4 hours. You get some gas. You go to the bathroom. You get some food. Like, all right, who's next? Who am I going to listen to?
What's the next? Who do I want? Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Who's next?
So I'd like to do a lightning round, and then I'll get you out of here, man. You cool with that?
Yeah, perfect, yeah.
Okay, four questions, as long or as short of answers as you like. First question, who is your biggest influence in the field of strength and conditioning?
Once again, it's very hard to narrow it down to one because these four individuals have provided multiple levels of information and support for me throughout the year. So. My first, I would say the Tigers staff with Javar Gillette and Chris Walter. They were supportive, taught me a whole bunch. My first year in pro ball, they know that you give, that you may not know what to expect on a day-to-day basis, but they didn't, they weren't ever mad in a certain aspect. They taught you they use it as a growing moment, like a teaching moment. So they never once was like, oh, you didn't do this the right way. Well, hey, let's do it this way the next time. Let's learn from this kind of thing. Next is Trevor Schwartz kind of giving me the opportunity to be back in pro ball. He definitely one of the wealth of knowledge, probably one of the most positive people that I know. He's nothing but supportive of me currently and when I was brought on. So I talked to Trevor probably like once a week, and I know he just had a baby a couple years ago or last year, so I know Torin is getting older. But then next is Ian giving me the opportunity to join the Twins and trusting me and my ability, knowing that I've been with other organizations, and sometimes that could be a red flag for people. And I don't think he saw it that way. And he gave me an opportunity, and here I am. So I'm beyond thankful for him and the Twins. So those would be the four. And the coordinator, Rack, David Rack, he's a great guy as well. He's a wealth of knowledge. he's supportive as well. I mean, they all kind of fall into this one category for me, and I'll forever be grateful for those five.
For sure. One piece of equipment to train with, what would it be?
Barbell all day.
Biggest accomplishment professionally and or personally?
Personally, it would be getting married to my wife. We're going on our 7th year of marriage this November 15th. And my two boys, 5 and 2. So that's the best job in the world is being a dad. It's also the hardest. So, especially in this field. Professionally would be winning the Florida State League in 2012 and obtaining my master's degree and getting back into pro ball with Colorado. And then I would be foolish not to say it, is all those other jobs that I had with Tigers and the Rockies were all part-time, and it's finally getting a full-time job with Minnesota. So going into my 7th year of pro ball. So my it's a long journey. So professionally, it would be the icing on the cake is getting my first full-time job after putting in so many years by being part-time.
Last one, man. Any career other than strength and conditioning, what would you choose?
This is another tough one. I am a huge supporter of the military. I would say the military, either the Army or the Navy, for the SEALs. I have a lot of friends that are military. I have family members that were military, my grandfathers and stuff like that. So it's in the blood. I just never, no pun intended, pulled the trigger on that field. But I also enjoy cooking. So like being a chef, like I can make a mean steak, make some mean pasta. Being Italian, we know how to make some big ass meals. So that's what my dad does. So it kind of falls in the blood there as well. So I learned from the best.
Same. Yeah, man. It runs in my family. I send my dad like pictures and videos of stuff that I'm cooking all the time. And he's like, it runs in the blood, man. That's and my wife hates cooking. So anytime I cook for her, she's like super thrilled that I did the cooking instead of her. So for sure, man, I totally relate with that. If the listeners want to get in touch with you, man, where can we get more? Social media the best place, or should we go somewhere else?
You can do social media. Instagram is jgentile118. And if you ever want to touch base via email, it's johngentile@twinsbaseball.com. I'm always happy to talk shop. I started off by not knowing anybody, and I just sent blind emails out I connected with you, Chris, a while back, and the biggest motto I always live off of is you make your money on yeses and nos, not maybes. So you with maybes, you're going to constantly go back. If someone gives you a yes, you're in the clear. If someone says no, you move on. So I'm always willing to help others because I had a huge support system to help me. So please don't hesitate to reach out with any questions you guys may have.
John, I appreciate your time and, being able to hear your story of perseverance, man, is awesome. And I wish you the best with this new position, and I'll see you at winter meetings. And I mean, in the meantime, we'll definitely catch up and talk soon.
Sounds good, Chris. Appreciate your time. Thanks for having me.
All right, everybody, that's going to conclude part 2 of our 2-part episode with John. I hope you enjoyed this one and the first part as well. And again, it was just cool to hear his story of perseverance and his just commitment to trying to be in professional baseball. And it'll be really interesting and exciting to follow his career and just see where it goes, knowing how passionate he is about the field. 3 things that I took from John in this episode: help players establish quality routines that will help pay dividends in the future for them. Manage your time wisely to stay ahead of daily, weekly, and monthly tasks. And asking the right questions will help you to know what to expect ahead of time when taking a new role. With that being said, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you again on the next one.